welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Ali Moreno, Shaka Hislop and myself, Kay Murray, here to look back on what went down in the Premier League on Thursday when Manchester United took on Chelsea, hoping to secure Champions League football next season. They did that. It was a 4-1 win. Erik ten Hag's men needed just a point. They took all three in that 4-1 victory over the Blues. Casemiro scoring the opener. That was followed up by another goal in the first half from Anthony Martial. Bruno Fernandes won and scored a penalty. And Marcus Rashford was gifted a goal. He was back in action for his side. It finished 4-1, and it is a top four finish for Manchester United, who will be playing in the Champions League next season. Frank Leboeuf is joining us now, and let's start with you then, Frank. Job done. Manchester United are in the Champions League next season.
Yes, Kay. I was scared when you say job done. I thought you wanted to talk about Chelsea. I said, what? What's going wrong? You know? Yes. Man United did what they had to do. It wasn't that convincing, and I would say because Chelsea played better in the middle of the park, but cannot defend and cannot attack. And I found Manchester United very united, working together and being crucial in the moment that they needed to. The header from Casemiro. And that, Casemiro, we have to talk about him. That guy changed Manchester United, definitely. Coming to Manchester from Real Madrid was a huge challenge, and he's really the man, you know, who changes everything when he's on the field. And, yeah, United deserved to win overall. They were more compact, more accurate, and they did the job. So congratulations to them. I think it's a deserving position to get into Champions League.
Welcome in Julian Laurent as well. It was touch and go at the top of the show whether we were going to have him from the top of the show.
How lucky are we?
So we are very lucky to have him.
Well, we can't afford Julian. That was touch and go.
Lots and lots of credit, as Frank's just given to Casemiro there, Jules, but so much has to be given to Erik ten Hag, taking over what you could say was a broken team and fixing things and putting it all back together.
Yes, of course, you're right. And let's not forget the terrible start of the season that they had, the defeat against Brighton at Old Trafford, then the hammering away at Brentford in those two first league games of the season. At that time, if you had said to Ten Hag himself, to the club, to the fans, that they would win the League Cup, that they would be in the final of the FA Cup still to be played, that they would finish top four, I don't think anybody really would have believed it, because they looked that bad, and yet he turned things around so brilliantly. They're third in the table now. Okay, maybe in Europe it was a bit disappointing in the way they got knocked out by Sevilla. Certainly over that second leg where they never really responded. But overall, it's been very, very positive in many respects. The way they've played, the direction that Ten Hag has given to this team. The new signing, like Frank said, Casemiro, of course, starting. Antony still has more work to do, of course, to have that similar kind of impact. But if they sign the right players in the right position, they will be a real force next season.
Who gets more credit, Shaka, the players or Ten Hag?
I give it to Ten Hag. I think it was a very difficult job just to start with, made infinitely more so by Cristiano Ronaldo and what kind of developed over those first couple of months in the season. Managing somebody like Ronaldo with his presence, just his presence in the game, never mind how much he means to Manchester United, but just his presence is never easy. That's a huge ask for anybody. For Erik ten Hag, coming from the Eredivisie, first time in English football, brand new to Manchester United, Cristiano Ronaldo, last season's leading goal scorer, and everything that I just spoke about, how he managed that transition, how he managed Ronaldo speaking out, and to deliver what can only be now seen as a successful Manchester United season. And listen, I know we sit here and we expect Manchester United to be competing at the top end of the Premier League table. But as Jules said, if in October or November you said we'd be talking about a United team that has already won one cup, is in the final of another, are comfortably in the Champions League places with a game to go, I'm not sure how many people would have, I certainly wouldn't have believed it. So credit to Ten Hag. At the same time, you have to give credit to players, because I think there are a lot of deficiencies about this United side, but somehow they managed to get it done.
And as for Marcus Rashford, that was his 30th goal of the season as well, Ali.
So if we're going to give credit to the players and we're going to talk about Casemiro and Manchester United, we also have to talk about Marcus Rashford, who I think has taken his game to an entirely different level. Always a hard worker, always a dangerous player, but wasn't always the finisher. Wasn't always the guy who provided that final touch. And now he has turned his career from a player who, again, would get in good position but not always finish, to a player who gets in good positions and now we expect him to finish. In fact, we're surprised when he doesn't. That's how good of a season he's had individually and how much of a game changer he has become for Manchester United. And they needed him. They needed him to be that guy. Now, I don't know if in the future for Manchester United, if indeed they're going to consider themselves a title contender, if they're going to be able to rely upon Marcus Rashford to be that guy again. I think they need another player through the middle and let Marcus Rashford do what he does from the left-hand side. But in terms of the maturity of his game, the maturity of his goals, the ability for him to score key goals in key moments and important moments for Manchester United, we have seen a different level, a dominant level from Marcus Rashford. He was a very, very impressive player this season.
Well, while we hand out accolades to players, a player who I think has been very important for Manchester United but maybe doesn't get that credit is Luke Shaw. Here's a player who was written off a couple of seasons ago, who this season has gone from left back to filling in as centre back and does so wonderfully well when other players were suffering loss of form in Maguire or injury of Varane. He comes in and he fills a needed void for Ten Hag. But even more than that, when United have not been good, he has been the one who stepped in front of the cameras and taken the heat for at times, subpar Manchester United performances. That's the kind of leadership that I think United have been lacking. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Luke Shaw is a cure-all leader that Manchester United have been looking for. But when needed, Luke Shaw has been the player to step up. We see what Casemiro does on the field. We know how important Marcus Rashford is. But those little things, those little attributes about Shaw, I think has come in huge for Ten Hag during the course of the season.
But to your point about managing and the importance of Ten Hag, Luke Shaw was left for dead by Jose Mourinho. And I mean left for dead. Run over and run over again and again and again and exposed time and time again. And we never really thought that we were going to see the best version of Luke Shaw come back around. So in comes a manager, Erik Ten Hag, who gives the player the importance that the player thinks he deserves and that he has earned. And when you have a player with talent and confidence and the belief from the manager, more times than not, that guy is going to deliver results for you. And so to your point about leadership, it's much easier to be a leader when the manager believes in you. When he leaves you for dead, you can't lead anybody because the manager doesn't believe in you, and so therefore people around you are questioning you as well. But when the manager has full belief and confidence, that allows you to then show up who you are. And Luke Shaw has done that and more.
Talking about managers making a difference, Jules, it seems as though Mauricio Pochettino is coming to Chelsea, but still no announcement. Is everything okay there?
Well, I'm being told that everything is fine. I don't know why it's taking so long for them to announce it. And maybe they're just waiting for the end of the season to announce Pochettino, for him to sign the three-year deal that he's agreed to sign. But it's this, so people say it's all good, don't worry, there's no issue. And then when you ask, okay, but why hasn't he signed yet? Why have you not announced it? They can't give you an answer. So I'm not really sure. I want to believe the people we're talking to saying that it's done. The Pochettino entourage as well is saying the same thing. So I think it will happen. The issue I have is that if Pochettino is watching tonight the game, and yet not everything is bad, but they're still very bad, I don't think that would change his mind. But I think it's more realizing for him on his side what a huge task he has ahead of him. Because even if the squad is talented in certain positions, it's still an absolute mess.
Yes, we were just easing you into it, Frank Leboeuf. Now we are going to have to talk about Chelsea, because it is fair to say, as Jules is pointing out, there's a lot of work to be done.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And luckily for them, the season is soon over, and they can maybe turn that horrendous page of that season. And I think about especially Wesley Fofana, who has been in the middle of all the defensive problem that Chelsea had for the past games. But also, when you see Modric, what he misses at the beginning of the game, you see today everything which happens to Chelsea in a bad way. They're doing great until the last pass. And they do great defensively until the last pass of the attack. But how you can do anything if you're not able to defend or finish your actions? And that's maybe the problem and the issue that Pochettino has. Every week, he makes a list of player he wants to keep and player he wants to get rid of, and at least changes maybe every game he sees. That's maybe the big nightmare that he has. Who to keep, who to get rid of. You have talent. When you see the names, you have talents. But how to make a squad and to make a team out of all those players who are doubting about their qualities, who are doubting about their football, who are doubting about their self-beliefs. So it's a real challenge for Pochettino.
Shaq, you're a big fan of Naps, right? That has been confirmed time and time again.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. if you had gone on a season-long nap, right, and walk out and just happened to watch this game and were wondering, why is Chelsea in the position that they're in? This game had all the signs. All you needed to see was this game and figure out why Chelsea have struggled so much and why they have been so incredibly bad. This is a team that can play for hours upon hours upon hours, and never mind us. Whether we believe it or not, it's one thing. But they don't really believe that they're going to score goals. The miss by Mudrik 4 minutes into the game is of a player who had zero chance of putting that into the back of the net. There is zero belief that as that ball is coming across his body, first of all, he should have taken it with his left foot, but regardless, he decides to let it come to his right foot because he's saying to himself, well, if I let it come to my right foot, I have a better chance of making cleaner contact because I don't really trust my left foot. And in doing that, it's almost a swing and a miss by Mudrik. That's not lack of quality per se. It has to be a lack of belief. And you can say that about Mudrik, and you can say that about a bunch of players. They had chances today. When we say, and Frank, I think, was saying earlier that Manchester United were compact and organized, well, in being compact and organized, they still gave up clear opportunities to Chelsea. And I mean clear opportunities. And what we see and what they see, and more importantly, what they feel, is that they're not going to put it in the back of the net. How that changes without you having a history of recent success, I don't know how that goes away. Even as we go into the summer, I don't know how that just disappears and then magically appears again when they start the new season.
Which leads us to ask, Jules, and obviously Pochettino will probably have a say in this, but with the likes of Mudrik and some of the players, who is going to be on the way out? Who's being talked of being on the way out at this point?
I mean, a few of them, of course, because the squad is far too big now. We've said that many times on the show. I think they have 33 players, and that's not even counting the loanees who, at some point, let's say Levi Colwill, for example, who's done a very good season at Brighton, is going to come back. So if you add them, you're going to get to 45 players, and then obviously you can't work like that. You can't even work with 30. Graham Potter struggled so much. He had to do two different matches at the end of training because he had too many players. They would not fit in just one game like you usually do. So this is terrible. I mean, the likes of Chalobah, Cucurella, Mason Mount, of course, for different reasons because of his contractual situation. But Hakim Ziyech and Christian Pulisic, I don't think that the club right now and Pochettino himself are counting on them for next season. But it's one thing to want players out. I mean, it's another thing to actually finding someone to take them off you on loan, permanent deals, selling them for how much money? How much money are you ready to lose out on some of those players? There's amortization. There's a lot of things that come in consideration. It's not just, it's easy to say, okay, him are going to go. But you might not find any clubs and they might still be with you come September 1st when the transfer window closes. So it's a hell of a transfer window, both in players' signings and players leaving. And really, it's one that Chelsea won't be looking forward to because it's going to be very, very difficult.
Frank, are there any players that stand out to you that you think Chelsea absolutely have to keep next season?
Well, definitely the player they just signed, because the money that it cost, for sure. Enzo Fernandez, Mudric, that we talked, Fofana, and all the players we have, yeah, those players we have long contracts. So there is no way that it can go, because you cannot sell them. Nobody's going to hire them that price. So you can't get your money back. And after, I don't know, Azpilicueta is getting old, but today he was maybe the only one who showed courage, who didn't give up, who worked hard. I don't think they count on him, but they will need leaders. I want to see leaders. We don't have any leaders. We have teams who play, try to play, don't score, don't defend, put their head down and go to the dressing room, and that's it. And it's not Chelsea. That's not Chelsea that I know. You need, especially in the spine, leaders, leadership is crucial, and they don't have it. I don't know if N'Golo Kanté is going to sign. How is his fitness? How is his body? He's not that old. I think he's 32. It would be nice for him to stay, because Chelsea needs it. N'Golo Kanté at his best, that's for sure. I would love to see João Félix staying. I think he showed some promises and he's a real talent, but I know he's going to cost a fortune as well. I think Kepa has to go. They have to turn the page of that. Question mark about Thiago Silva because of his age. In the middle of the park, at front, of course, Ziyech has to go. He's not happy. Question mark by Mann. Pulisic has to go, that's for sure. And maybe also Havertz. I don't see any sparkles in those players' game. That's what concerns me the most.
I think Frank is being very kind. And he's right in that you have players who have got 7 and 8 years left, and there's only so much you can do. But let's be honest, all things being even, never mind how much it costs and how much longer some of these players have on their contracts, the only two players I'm keeping, Reece James and, Frank's right, Thiago Silva, who is 38, going on 62, it feels, at times.
You need 9 more players.
Well, and that's the trouble.
I'm just saying, you
that's
need
the trouble.
More.
So right now, Chelsea are good for a two-a-side. But other than that, I'm everybody can go. And then, but to Jules's point, everybody in world football knows this. So if I'm interested in a Chelsea player, I'm waiting for them to make the move, because I know I'm holding all the cards here in terms of bargaining. So Chelsea are on a lose-lose in that regard anyway. And that's the... So as much as we talk about Chelsea and they're willing to spend and who's coming in and Pochettino and what needs to be done, it's so reliant on other clubs coming in and taking players off their hands when they aren't really in a strong negotiating position.
Right after Manchester United secured that Champions League spot, we heard from Mo Salah on social media, not very upset about Liverpool not making Champions League football next season. He said, "I'm totally devastated. There's absolutely no excuse for this. We had everything we needed to make it to next year's Champions League, and we failed. We are Liverpool, and qualifying to the competition is the bare minimum. I'm sorry, but it's too soon for an uplifting or optimistic post. We let you and ourselves down." Your reaction to that, LA?
Well, he's right. Yes. Hey, Mo, you are correct. However, I don't know what you achieve by doing this, right? It's you put yourself in front of the fans and say, "Hey, we let you down," and all this and all that. Look, I don't know how much sincerity there is to it. I don't know if you're just playing to the crowd or what they expect you to say regardless. But in terms of the messaging and in terms of the information within that message, yes, you are right. Liverpool making Champions League should be the bare minimum. And while there are many reasons as to why people will point out and injuries and suspensions and whatever the reasons and excuses that you want to give to Liverpool, they should be in the top four. What was most surprising about Liverpool this season is how steep, and I mean how steep and quick the drop-off was from where they were last season and what they became in the middle of the season. And when you're seeing them losing to Brighton in the manner in which they did, and you're seeing them losing games, and it's 4-0, and you're seeing Liverpool just being taken apart, and there's no defending going on, and there's no structure through the midfield, and they get stretched and disorganized, it is very surprising. And so, Mo, you're correct. Yes, indeed, Liverpool was a disappointment this season. But in terms of the honesty behind the message and what you're trying to achieve with the message, it's a little too late now.
Frank, do you like it or not?
No, I don't. It's a modern time. It seems to be that you have to justify everything on what you do and what you think and what you've done. I think when you try to justify yourself, it's already because you know that you did something wrong. That's what it is. Yeah, they did something wrong. We have the numbers for that, and we know Liverpool is going to finish maybe fifth at the best, and it's a disappointing season. But you don't need to make a comment, you know. Just work hard next season. Go back to your best. Help each other to be better. But what's the point? I'm with Ali. It doesn't make any sense for me.
Elsewhere, there have been a lot of comments because Arne Slot has said he is not going to be taking over at Tottenham Hotspur. What's the latest here? It's like another one bites the dust, Jules.
Yeah, it's another summer similar to the last one, basically. Or all the first name on the Spurs shortlist said no one after the other. I mean, I have to applaud Arne Slot here because he's going to get a new deal at Feyenoord with a huge pay rise. And I really believe that he used the Spurs' interest, let's put it that way, because let's not kid ourselves. Spurs were encouraged at the beginning by the fact that the signs coming out of the Arne Slot camp were quite positive. So Tottenham really believed that they would be able to sign him. There was a bit of a differences in what they thought they would have to pay because he's still under contract and what Feyenoord expected. But that's something that you could sort out. I mean, Chelsea paid £21 million for Graham Potter to Brighton. So you can always find, you know, a middle ground somewhere between two clubs for a manager as well. But Arne Slot, I have to say, played a masterclass. He's going to get a very lovely new contract at Feyenoord. He's going to play the Champions League with them. He's got a very young, talented team that can maybe create more upset for the bigger teams in the Red Division next season and in Europe as well. And Spurs are still looking for their next manager.
So we're scribbling that name off the list. Let's take a look at the odds when it does come to the managerial position at Spurs. It looks like this. Ange Postecoglou, Brendan Rodgers, Julian Nagelsmann, Ruben Amorim and Luis Enrique. Anyone that you like there, Shaka?
I like Nagelsmann and Enrique in particular. I'm not sure either of them will go to Spurs. And here's the issue for Spurs. I think they are such a damaged brand at this point. Listen, there'll be no shortage of applicants, no question. But if you're talking about a manager with Champions League experience, with big club experience, I'm not sure how many are really that excited about Spurs and working with Daniel Levy, in all honesty. Postecoglou will be happily make that move south, no question. Brendan Rodgers, I continue to believe, is a very good manager and showed that, but truth be told, his last job, he was sacked by Leicester. So I'm not sure how comforting that is to Tottenham Hotspur fans. But I think that is kind of where Spurs are right now. They need somebody to build this club back to the point where a Nagelsmann or Luis Enrique would be interested. Because as of right now, nobody of that ilk, I think, gives this Spurs job much of a second thought.
If those names aren't too inspiring, what's Harry Kane sat there thinking, seeing this whole situation unfold, Ale?
I have no idea. I believe in the club. That's what I would be doing if I were him. In fact, I would have left a long time ago if I were Harry Kane. But I suppose that there is something to be said about peace of mind, being comfortable in your surroundings. We don't know what really motivates Harry Kane, and I'm not going to speak for Harry Kane. Now, if it were me and I were in his position, I would try to find a place that was more suitable to my talent and my productivity. And that is not Spurs. I think Harry Kane outgrew Spurs a long time ago. And I mean a long time ago. He remains there. He remains loyal to the club, to the brand, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's just the fact that him being there provides him with a level of comfort and understanding and peace and all those things. And perhaps all the things that we think about and should be important for a player of his quality, maybe they're not nearly as important to him. I don't know. But if it's about on the field and decision making for a player, at this point of his career, Harry Kane should be gone. And I mean gone out of there, because he would be in high demand wherever he chooses to go.
Jules, how much is the future of Harry Kane and the new manager at Spurs linked?
It will have an impact, I think. It will have some importance. Remember when, in that summer, when he wanted to go and go to Manchester City, we talked a lot about it at the time on who was going to be the next Spurs manager and would that work and who was it. And in the end, he stayed, but that didn't really move the needle. I think this time could be very similar. If he's an underwhelming coach, and again at the weekend, someone said to me that at the club, there were a few people who wanted Ryan Mason to keep his job. I mean, there's no way that Harry Kane should stay under Ryan Mason at that club. If it's Luis Enrique or Nagelsmann, if Kane feels like that new manager is going to make that team grow and go again for something for the next 3-4 years, then it might be different. But it's a long shot again. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Kane has made his mind up now that he wants to go. It's a different story on where he could go, because I don't think Daniel Levy would sell to another English club. But if Kane is ready to go abroad, I think for me it's still a very possible, a big possibility that this happens. But I think he might also wait and see who is the next Spurs coach, have a chat with him, and then completely make his mind up.
We thank Jules for being with us. If you would like to hear more from Jules, you can check out the latest Gab and Jules show.
We're so fortunate to have Jules.
What show has he got this week? That's all I wanted.
He's very upset about Harry Maguire being called up to the England squad. Make sure to go download it to find out why. And make sure to be with us for the FA Cup final between Manchester United and Manchester City. That's June 3rd. Coverage will begin at 8:30 Eastern. You can catch it on ESPN2 and ESPN+. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. La Liga president Javier Tebas has admitted he's concerned about damage to the league's reputation after the racist abuse aimed at Vinny Jr. and the situation surrounding it, how it's been dealt with so far. And at a 90-minute news conference at La Liga headquarters in Madrid on Thursday, he said, "Of course I'm worried about La Liga's image. If I wasn't, I'd be crazy. La Liga has worked to fight against racist insults. It's a blow, but we'll work to recover the reputation we may have lost." We can now welcome in Alex Kirkland, who is ESPN FC's Madrid correspondent. But let me just continue with what Javier Tebas did say at the conference. He said the punishment of taking away points only exists currently in the case of fielding an ineligible player. Would it be good? I think so. If Vinny feels affected, of course, I would support leaving the field. He'd have the support of the league and my personal support. These have been some of my worst days as president and as a person. So, Alex, originally it seemed as though La Liga was saying that they had no power in these situations to put down the punishment that perhaps they would like to. But it almost seems like they are trying to take a more authoritative approach right now with what we're hearing from Javier Tebas today.
Yeah, this felt like an exercise in crisis management, really, from Javier Tebas and from La Liga. And this has been a crisis. Make no mistake about that. Tebas said today this is the biggest crisis he's faced in a decade as president of La Liga. This was a different Javier Tebas that we saw today from the one who kind of waded in and got into a bit of a back and forth with Vinicius Jr. on social media after Vinicius called out racism in Spanish football after what happened at Mestalla. And I think this is an important point. I know that sometimes you guys, you might hear some of the kind of outlandish things that Tebas says and the fights that he picks. And he comes across as a bit of a kind of an outlandish character, maybe. But he's also, you know, this is a kind of a serious sports administrator. He's a lawyer by profession. And this was quite a lawyerish legal performance almost from Tebas today, setting out the case, if you will, for what La Liga have done and what they would like to do, but feel like they cannot do at the moment, given what they say are the limitations in their powers. He was very direct on some points. He was asked if he supported stadium closures as a potential measure. He said yes. He was asked, as you just mentioned there, if he would support teams and players who walked off the pitch in the face of racist abuse. He said yes, he would support that. The league would support that. You mentioned there as well that the question was asked to him, would you support docking points from teams? Would that be a possibility? He said it's not currently on the table. It's not something the league are asking for. But he thought that it might be helpful and it might be a useful deterrent. So I think he was largely convincing. I mean, he answered questions for an hour and a half from journalists from all over the world in this press conference. Convincing for much of it. Once or twice, not so much. Just occasionally, you got the feeling that that still doesn't quite entirely get this. But it was certainly much better than what we heard from Tebas earlier in the week.
I totally agree with Alex here. Listen, when Tebas announced that he was going to be holding his press conference, I'll be honest, I fear the worst. Given everything that we'd heard from Tebas ever since that incident at Valencia, I just thought it's just going to be more of the same. But these statements are strong. These statements are needed. And while, yes, it opens up all kinds of legalities about it, and there will be challenges if any of these suspensions are handed down. We know Valencia already lodged an appeal for their punishment. That's fine. I welcome that. And I think Tebas and La Liga should. They need to establish how far their power can go, what they can do in wielding their authority, in shaping a league that stands as one of the big leagues in world football. No question the league has taken a ding, and that's putting it as nice as I possibly can, over the last couple of days. But if you are trying to shape a league, if you're trying to shape a product that stands on a level par with all the other big leagues in European football and world football, you have to deal with this racism issue. They have not. They have shirked it for far too long. The Roosters have now come home, and you have to figure out how you deal with that in shaping what's next for La Liga.
Does this look like them doing that, at least to ULA?
Maybe, but maybe it's a show. Because here's the thing. These conversations and these strong statements, they have made a version of that in the past as well. You go back to even earlier this season, just months ago, it was Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid. And Atletico Madrid, in their stadium, their fans, not a handful, a bunch of the fans, were yelling, mono, 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 monkey, 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 to Vinicius. And back then, if you ever needed evidence that, look, we have a problem here. This is an issue. Let's address it right now. Let's call an extraordinary session. Let's sit people down that are in a decision-making position so that we can address this issue now. Was that the approach? No. The approach was actually lawyers coming out and saying things like, look, you know what? It was only a handful of people. Nothing to see here, basically. So now, this, because you've allowed this to happen, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, we get to Mestalla, and it's out of control. Completely out of control. And somehow, Tebas and La Liga are surprised that this is happening. Surprised that we got to this point, and now we're going to address it. Well, it's late. I like it. I like the fact that you're addressing it, or at the very least, you're pretending to address it. I like it that you're coming out with the statements. I like it that you put out the possibility of docking points. All of those things I like is, do you follow through with this? And I think that's key. Following through with this, not just with the threats, not with a slap in the wrist. No, no, no. You know what teams really concern themselves with? Points and money. And usually points are tied up with money. If you were to dock, let's say, for example, a number, 10 points from Atletico Madrid for what happened in their stadium, we're talking about them missing out on Champions League. Points and money. If you dock 10 points to Valencia, you're talking about them being relegated. Points and money. Those things are related. If indeed you follow through with this, then yeah, I'm on board. But if this is just a rhetoric, if this is just a narrative that you put out there for a press conference so that this kind of goes away and you feel better about yourself and you kind of shift the narrative into a different direction, then this is more of the same from La Liga.
Here's the thing as well, and I am in no way offering any kind of an excuse to La Liga here. But going back to that Atletico Madrid game, all the narrative going into that was, well, Vinicius dances too much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we sat here and couldn't believe the excuses that were being used. Again, putting the blame on Vinicius Jr. He dances too much. That antagonizes the fans. But now you see, in a game where Real Madrid are down, where Vinicius Jr. has not danced, the post-game questions, where he gets abused, and then the post-game questions to Ancelotti is, well, should Vinicius have said to the fans that they're getting relegated? Mm. Which couldn't, as we sat here back in, what was it, January or February, and said, it was not about Vinicius and his actions. This is about racism unadulterated. And this, for all those people who offered that flimsy excuse of it was Vinicius and his dancing, now you see, it never was. It was always about the color of his skin, nothing else. And now you cannot hide. You cannot hide behind the flimsiness of that excuse. And you have to step up and you have to deal with it. I think Tebas in his initial response was, again, trying to hide behind a flimsy excuse. You didn't show up to a couple of meetings. And people are recognizing how false all of that narrative is, and calling everybody out on it.
So let's talk about following through then, Alex, because what is the likelihood of La Liga being granted further powers to deal with this issue and start to really make a change, at least next season?
Well, I think Ali is right in that talk is cheap, but let's see what the execution on this actually is, because it's easy to come out and say these things now and say that we're going to seek these powers, but let's see what actually happens. Now, according to La Liga, they say that they need to see some changes in the legislation here to grant them further powers. That's what they say. And they say they're going to lobby for that. But ultimately, that's a change to the law, and that would be a government matter. Now, the Spanish government has taken an interest in this case because that's how far this crisis has gone. It's gotten to a point where it's affecting the reputation globally of Spain as a country. It's become an international incident between Spain and Brazil in many ways. So the government has taken interest. But let's see if La Liga are successful in lobbying for these changes to the sports law, to the relevant legislation, because La Liga's and their frustration, they say, has been that there have been these two routes they've been looking to go down. One has been the criminal route, but as we mentioned just then, often prosecutors haven't followed through. And then there's been the route where they pass these cases on to the Spanish Football Federation's Competition Commission, and they haven't always handed out particularly stringent punishments either, until this one at Mestalla, which came out very quickly and was much more severe than it has tended to be in the past. So let's see what happens the next time this happens. Let's see what happens when it happens to maybe another player who doesn't have the profile of Vinicius. And let's see if we're going to see this consistently applied and taken seriously in the way that it ought to be. One really interesting moment, I thought, right at the end of Tebas's press conference today, I say that it was largely, I thought, quite convincing from him. Right at the end of the press conference, after an hour and a half of questions, a Brazilian journalist stood up and put a very simple question to Javier Tebas. He said, "I'm just out of interest, Mr. Tebas, how many black employees does La Liga have?" And Tebas, he couldn't answer. He couldn't answer the question. He tried to sort of make light of it. He tried to, you know, sort of almost joke about it and say, "Oh, I haven't counted," and that kind of thing. But I thought it was really quite illuminating, the fact that he couldn't answer that question. And it just made you think about, you know, is there a lack of diversity around someone like Tebas? And if there was a bit more diversity around him, would we have seen the response that we, the initial response that we saw from him before they got their act together over the course of this week?
Very interesting. Let's head to the bottom end of the table in La Liga while we do have you, Alex, because there's been some news coming out today that Espanyol have officially requested Wednesday night's game with Atleti, which was a 3-3 draw, to be deemed invalid as they believe that the ball didn't entirely cross the line on Antoine Griezmann's goal. This was a game in which they came from 3-0 down to make it 3-3. What more can you tell us?
Well, look, you can't blame Espanyol for trying, can you? Because we just saw the La Liga table there. They're 3 points from safety. They're deep in a relegation battle. And they're looking very likely to go down. So, look, I suppose they might as well put an appeal in, again, to the competition commission, who I just mentioned, and see if they get any joy out of it. I think it's highly unlikely that this would go anywhere. What was interesting, well, firstly, we should say that I think their grievance is legitimate. We're looking at the images there. These are the same images that the video assistant referees were looking at. And this is the key VAR image. And it's from this image that they decided this goal should stand. And what Espanyol are saying is that how on earth can you make that decision from that image? Espanyol requested further images and footage that the VAR used in taking this decision. They weren't given it because the VAR said they can't give out those images. All we've got is that one image that we just showed. And you can't tell. So it's understandable why Espanyol are fuming. However, the idea that every time there's a decision like this that goes against the team, they're going to appeal it, it's hard to see where that goes. And of course, the other interesting thing here is that in this statement from Espanyol, they cited the decision of the competition commission in the Vinicius red card at Mestalla. Because remember, after that racial abuse at Mestalla, Vinicius was sent off in added time. And the suspension for that red card was lifted by the competition commission this week as part of their ruling. And in a way, they're going back and kind of re-refereeing that incident and saying that the referee on the field wasn't given access to all the images. He saw Vinicius striking Hugo Duro, but he didn't see the preceding images of Hugo Duro grabbing Vinicius in a headlock. So what Espanyol are saying, well, look, the competition commission have gone back and looked at this case and they've nullified Vinicius' suspension. Why can't they go in and take action here? But like I say, you can understand the logic, but the difference is, I think what the officials did here in the Espanyol case is what they have to do with the resources they've got, because they don't have goal line technology. There's no goal line technology in Spain. So all they can do is look at the VAR images and take a decision. That's what they did. Now, whether you agree with their final decision or not, that's what they did. So I think it's highly unlikely that this goes anywhere as far as Espanyol are concerned, because if not, this would be happening constantly week after week. But like I say, you can't blame them for trying.
Is it not a bit, be careful what you wish for, the fact that they did get a point here?
If I'm Espanyol, I'm taking the point against Atletico Madrid. And then, look, if you're going to stay up, then it's about what you do against Valencia and it's what you do against Almeria. Right? The request here for essentially having a replay, there's a potential that maybe you don't get a point. And so now it's not a 3-point difference, it's actually a 4-point difference. You may be disappointed with the decision, you may be upset about it, but take your point and then, guess what? Do what you can and what you should do against teams like Valencia and Almeria. If you win those games, you're gonna be safe. If you don't, goodbye. They gone.
Okay, well, thanks so much for Alex Kirkland for staying up late for us and talking to us on all of these situations. He's used to staying up late. Like young babies in the house. You can see more from Alex over on our YouTube channel, ESPN FC. Make sure to click subscribe while you're there.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And you know where to catch Shaka's Power Rankings every week.
It's been 2 weeks. Because I was away last week.
Where were you, Shaq?
I went to my daughter's graduation.
Oh, all right. Graduation. I see. What an excuse.
I have to admit, a little bit of the romantic of me in this week's top 10.
Oh.
Sociedad are in after 2 draws and 5 wins in their last 7. Besiktas, they are actually second in Turkey, but they put together a really good run. Leipzig have just blown the Bundesliga wide open, made this weekend all the more exciting. They're rewarded for that.
Bundesliga shot.
I was waiting for it.
Yes. Porto, they're in as well. They second in Portugal, I think I'm right in saying.
Think.
There's a lot of data here. A lot of data.
Right. So where is the team that is first in Portugal?
They drew this weekend, so they're on.
But they're winning the title.
Yeah, but they drew this weekend.
Oh.
And it's about romance. Next week is going to be a lot more about who's won silverware, who's lifted titles. This week is just about who's given us something to cling to.
Okay.
Who's given us something to dream of.
All right.
Well, Frank
LeBeuf. Two French clubs, so no
France
happy.
That's what I was just going to say. Frank LeBeuf's here, and he has actually taken on board the fact that he needs to put more French clubs in the power rankings, Frank.
And I'm very pleased about that, you know, and I'm so happy that Shaka found in his remote control the button to press for the French channel, you know, and he could see that Lens is doing great before Paris Saint-Germain was going to be a champion. It's just one question. Is that because you're already champion that you have to be dropped of the power ranking? I'm talking about Napoli. I'm very surprised, Shaka, the champion.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you put them out?
Napoli will be in next week, but I think they won this weekend, but lost 2 and drew before that. So it's they win the title and then go off celebrating, understandably. So the results weren't great, so they're out. But as I said, this is a week for romance. This is a week for those teams.
I see what your understanding. Your understanding of romance is. You're buying Frank's love by including 2 French teams. That's your idea of romance?
Yes.
Oh, and also very romantic. Yeah. You say Real Sociedad, you're including them in. And the first thing you say about them is they drew twice.
Two in the last 12%. They drew 2
so
and 12.
So romantic.
I said two and 12, something like that. That's what that's my point. I was making 10 wins.
Oh, so romantic.
Shaka's power of love rankings.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You can catch them most weeks if he's not on vacation over on our YouTube channel.
Well, then,
channel.
Good
if he
luck.
Is, nobody else is.
Good luck. You see how he tried to, by the way, play it off as if he doesn't like napping? He's like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So it has been a busy week for many of us, but none more so than Ali Moreno. Yes, Ali, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, well, my oldest, Alejandro Enrique Moreno, graduated from high school yesterday. It was a beautiful moment for the family. We had a graduation mass on Tuesday. Oh, yes. Yes, and then full-on graduation. Oh, my dad, my sister, Alejandro's girlfriend Molly, Melissa, my wife, and Gregory, my son. Oh, look at the family, the emotion. Hey, Pedri, You can stay in Spain, Pedri. I got my son. I love my son.
Look at proud papa.
Oh, yes.
Congrats, Ali and moment. Ali.
Hey, I kept it together. There were a couple of moments in the ceremony where the emotion was getting the best of me, but I held on strong.
Well done. I'm proud of you, Ali. Well, I'm proud.
My beautiful wife wasn't hanging on nearly as strongly as I was, but...
Oh, no, nor should she have. Well done.
Dang.
I'd like to hear Melissa's version of that same story before I clap.
Then we'll find
out,
right?
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank.
Let's find out if Ali cried. Frank, Ali, and Shaka.
Hanging on to that.
To answer your questions.
I love you, babe.
Some extra time.
Love you, buddy.
Let me start the latest edition of Extra Time with Frank, Ali and Shaka by telling you all the news that Shaka is preparing to run a 5K.
Oh, wait, why are you going to tell everybody?
You told us.
Oh, I don't tell you to tell anybody
wrong?
Else.
And how's the preparation going, Shaq?
Well, it hasn't quite started just yet, Ali.
Uh-huh. I said, are you going to go in cold into this 5K run, or how are you going to prepare for it?
Well, as of right now, we're roughly 10 days, 9 days away from the 5K.
And how much have we done?
I've had a difficult couple of weeks, Ali.
So zero. We've done nothing.
Had a lot.
Shaka.
I've had a lot on my plate of late.
Uh-huh. I see.
And my preparation.
Frank wants in.
All right, okay.
You want to run the 5K?
I have a question, Shaka, because we saw lately somebody running and not in a very good way. Are you expecting to finish before any fish in your race?
Frank, if there's a fish in your race, I will beat the fish. That's my only guarantee.
Good.
No,
good.
Well, that's...
I like that.
What time are we looking at? What time are we aiming for?
Anytime between 9 in the morning and midday is good. Race starts at 9. As long as it finish by midday, we are right.
Yeah, you know why she'd be asking the questions like that, Shaq? Because homegirl be feeling herself. She got her hair dipped. Homegirl be feeling herself.
Thanks to Trish and Daniela in hair and makeup.
She came in here. Yeah. She came into the studio.
That's what I need for my 5K. What? I need hair and makeup.
Somehow I think we don't spend the same amount of time at hair and makeup.
No, definitely not.
Or
probably have the same conversations that
What's the first question, Kay?
The first question for Frank. From what you've seen of Fofana in a Chelsea shirt, are you still sure he has what it takes to become an elite centre-back?
Well, I still want to believe that I'm not wrong and that he will rectify the trajectory of his career. He has everything he needs to be one of the best centre-back, but he needs to grow. He's now in a big club and he needs to grow very quickly, making sure that his choices are not putting his team in danger. And his frustration as well. Today, when he was nutmegged by Bruno Fernandes, his reaction was very naive, very immature. He has to react better, and hopefully everything is going to erase and be vanished very soon. But yeah, he can. If he carries on like that, he can damage dramatically his career, for sure.
Next question. Shaka, we are once again approaching sweating season. Even more so now with a 5K in the Hislop household. So I will have to ask, will you be paying for air conditioning this summer?
I have air conditioning, but it's loud. So I have to turn it off when I'm recording from home. So I sweat.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I sweat.
Yeah, you do. And that sweat towel that you have next to you, that doesn't seem to work all that well.
The trouble is, I don't get a return, so I never quite know when I'm off air.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing. Every now and then I come off as...
Yeah, but Shaka, you know, you live in a country who is really specialized in air conditioning. You know, I live in France, and even in France we have silent air conditioning. So I'm pretty sure you can find some, you know, and put in your beautiful house.
I'll come to France, Frank. How about that? I'll come live with you.
Oh. Oh, hey, that's, hey, that's first class right there.
That's
the solution, I think.
It's settled.
Okay. Whatever.
It's settled.
There you go.
You can deliver the power rankings from France.
Oh, because that's clusters of vacation then.
It'll be all French teams.
Lance.
All right. For Kay, was Dan always a smarty pants? Yes, is the answer to that. Yes. Yeah. Dan has always been able to say things that nobody else can and get away with it. And I'm still surprised after all these years, nobody smacked him in the face.
Right?
We would love to, but we were said that it's forbidden. So we don't do that. Otherwise, we'll do it.
There was one guy that we used to work with at Real Madrid TV who we always tried to not ask any questions to because it was never a short answer.
Right.
So it was really awful if you had to ask that question. Anyway, when he did start that long answer, most people sat politely for the 30 minutes it took him to answer. Right. Dan would wait about 15 seconds and say, Luis, is this going to be another one of those boring long monologues? Because if it is, stop now. And everyone would laugh.
I think the thing that Dan has going for him is that he's a tiny little guy.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know.
It feels wrong.
We don't say tiny little guy. We say short kings, okay? He's a short king.
Okay. He's a tiny little guy.
Let me just say, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, he's not short.
He's
not short king. He's a tiny little man.
He's cute and adorable.
You guys are terrible.
if we're realtors, he's quaint.
Oh, he's quaint, all right.
Charming.
Oh, he's quaint.
Quaint and charming.
I don't know if he's ever been described as quaint before. Oh, charming, yes. Quaint, I'm not sure. Yeah. All right, with the Chelsea fans chanting.
Sure.
I'll go on, Frank.
No, I think I'm going to find his nickname, Quint. I'm going to call him like that, Quint.
Go with it.
Okay. With the Chelsea fans chanting, you are nothing special, we lose every week, what is the funniest chant or song you have heard?
Thank God.
Well, lately, you know, when Chelsea drew against, Bournemouth maybe? Yeah, Bournemouth. When they started to sing, oh, we're not going to go down or we're not going to be relegated, I started to laugh. You know, that was very funny. But otherwise, you know what? When I arrived at Chelsea, they were singing the song, "He's here, he's there, he's every F word everywhere." And I said, no, it's not nice to say that, guys, because you have kids in the stands and that's not very nice for them. So can you change that? A week after, that's very funny. They were saying, well, that was very funny for me and very surprising. They were saying, he's here, he's there. We're not allowed to swear. Frank LeBeuf. I find it very nice.
I love it. There's nothing like it, the chants back in England. So
the best I've had is when I first started in Reading, they had a pink goalkeeper shirt. And every away ground, they used to call me Mr. Blobby.
Do you care to explain who Mr. Blobby is?
Mr. Blobby was this children's character that was almost like a huge kind of blow-up doll, like huge...
Blob pink of and, pink with pink yellow
and,
spots.
And pink polka dots.
On entertainment TV on a weekend.
It was the weirdest thing you've ever seen. And it just spread around the entire league. Everywhere I went, everybody was singing, calling me Mr. Blobby.
Don't get stretched. Huh? Don't get excited there.
That's Mr. Blobby.
The phone almost flew off there.
Yeah, that's all right. It's good there.
One of the best I've heard was when Peter Crouch was at Liverpool and they used to sing, he's big, he's red, his feet stick out the bed. Peter Crouch. There's always the funny ones. There's so many good ones. All right, for Frank, what are the perks of being a World Cup winner, especially for one who won it for the first time for France?
Oh.
What are the perks?
Perks.
I don't know what the perks is. Oh.
The bonuses, the benefits.
Oh, the benefits. So, well, it was before the Euro. So, well, we are an American channel, so we can talk about money. In France, we don't talk about money. We never say how much we earn and how much we got as bonuses. But I think it was like, I would say, 300,000 euros for each for winning the World Cup.
No.
Well, thank you for that information, but no, in first, general, yeah, in perks, general, perks, that's life.
But bonuses is money. Bonuses, perks is more like you don't have to line up in life. For a restaurant.
Okay, what are the good things about it?
Oh, no. Nothing much. I thank you. Well done. You know.
That's
it. You know what we want.
Right.
Free food. No, free drinks.
I never had. Yeah, I can have free drinks. Never had a free lunch. Nothing. Maybe Zizou had. Maybe he still has.
Right.
You know, and they deserve that. But. We had a motorbike. We had a free motorbike. But it's forbidden to use a motorbike, so we had to sell it.
Why am I struggling to believe you, Frank? I don't believe that for a minute. Oh, I got a motorbike. I got a ride on a motorbike once.
That's right. Hey, right. Right. Hey. 300,000 euros.
Oh, I'm a biker.
Hey.
I'm a biker, and I love that. But that motorbike was so ugly that I didn't keep it, so I sold it.
Very ungrateful, Frank.
So it's 300,000 plus.
Yeah.
plus the bike.
No watches, jewelry, clothes, anything like that?
Oh yes, we had watches. Yeah, I have.
We're coming out. We're making it right now.
Yeah. We've gone from no nothing.
Yeah,
to
motorbike
and a
watch. Beautiful watch. And I think I came to Bristol with, and it's nice because of course underneath you have returned Frank Leboeuf, champion of the world '98. So it can cost a fortune.
VIP treatment in the nightclubs, red carpet treatment outside the nightclubs.
Well, I won't make any comment about that. You know, that's my real private life. So,
he's not standing in line.
Many free drinks and many good time. Don't worry about that.
Turns out that there are many perks.
Many perks.
By the way, Key, you know who to go to if you want a free watch? if you're in the business for free watches.
Hang on a minute. How do I not know this?
What are you talking about, Shaq? I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, man.
Are you a bit of a wheeler dealer, Ale?
No. Okay, see, what Shaq fails to mention is the fact that I just have a sexy wrist. So watches just come and go.
Wrist.
It's the sexiness of my wrist. And so people just want to hang their watches on my wrist. Aye. What do you want me to tell you? Aye. It's not the hair, it's not the face, it's the wrist.
My name is Alejandro Moreno, wrist model.
Yes, I'm a wrist model
by trade.
Thank you.
So people just send you free watches?
I don't make the decisions, okay? But if you want to keep on sending watches, I'll receive them and I'll wear them.
Okay.
Yes.
And he didn't even win the World Cup. Look at that, Frank.
This is just by having a sexy wrist.
Okay, sexy wrists aside, Ale, what are your thoughts on the US Open Cup with Birmingham and Pittsburgh both upsetting MLS sides to make the round of eight?
These are always good things. And in cup competition, you want to see these things. And the guys in the participate in the FA Cup always tell us about the magic of the FA Cup, or the romance of the FA Cup. Well, this is exactly what you want to happen more and more often in US Open Cup. And I think it opens up conversation about the game and the growth of the game in more places when this continues to happen. And so in Birmingham and Pittsburgh, not only do you have the people that usually follow the River Hounds or that follow the Birmingham Legion, now you have a greater interest in that community. And it may not be useful in terms of how far can we go in this competition, but I think more importantly, it may be useful in terms of what happens with that team within their local community, that you are able to attract attention for them to come to one of your games, even if it is an Open Cup game, but then more importantly, come back on the weekend and support this team in the regular league matches. It grows the interest of the game and these teams and their local communities, and that can only help the game as a whole.
But, if I may add, when I was in Ohio for my daughter's graduation last week, we stayed 5 minutes away from Cincinnati Stadium. Mm. What a nice setup that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Goodness me. I mean, we were right around the corner with TLQ Stadium. Or something. What a nice setup. And I think the infrastructure, the growth of the infrastructure in the US game has been incredible to witness over the last couple of decades. Because it's right in the middle of Cincinnati, an incredible stadium, it really is.
So you were traveling, is what you were saying, instead of doing your power ranking.
No, I was.
That's what I heard.
No, I went to see football stadiums, Ali, to soak all that
yes,
in.
Yes, enrich that's your only knowledge.
That's right.
Ali, now you have to understand that it's only in Cincinnati that you can find a French channel, you know, and you can see Lens. That's right.
Lens.
It did work as a setup.
Okay. Well, moral of the story today is that there's no such thing as a free lunch, but there is such thing as a free watch.
Oh,
especially
if you're a risk model.
If you're a World Cup winner, you've got sexy wrist. Thanks so much for sending in your questions. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.